Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that beautiful worship experience and praising God and lifting Him up in song and in prayer. You know, I got to thinking about the words of that last song. I will fall on my knees, and it talks about praising God. It talks about glorifying Him. It's funny, you know, we talk about, we sing about all of these things. You ever wondered if we actually do it? You know? It's I don't know, it just kind of struck me that maybe sometimes if we're moved by music, it's appropriate to fall on our knees. I think it is. But it's a beautiful song, and I was very touched by the words this morning, just thinking about what they mean in my life. I'd like to kind of get a running start at the holiday season before the stores have already beat me to it, so I guess I'm not going to beat them. But I'd like to really put our minds into a framework of giving thanks. You know, we've got Thanksgiving coming around the corner here, and regardless of how you feel about your family, most likely you'll end up spending time with them. You know, there's just something about the family that regardless of how we feel about Uncle John or Aunt Bessie or Cousin Gertrude, we still manage to somehow suppress our true feelings, and we have a good time. I'm not sure what it is that attracts us. Well, I really do know what it is, but it certainly has something to do with the cottage cheese loaf and you know, the gluten steaks and the gravy and the apple pie and all those good things that we remember from our childhood. And somehow it just draws us like a magnet. And so any feelings that we might have, any feelings of hostility or resentment or anything, just kind of fade away, you know, when we get together. And we don't seem to think about those. We don't remember those things until afterwards. And then we remember, oh, yeah, Aunt Gertrude was her same old self, you know, and, yeah, Uncle Johnny, you know. But still, we have a good time, don't we? You know, families are funny, aren't they? We love each other. We fight with each other. We laugh with each other. We cry with each other. We do a lot of things together. And that's what family is about. Not only our blood families, but that is what the family of God is all about. The Apostle Paul is talking about that in Ephesians over and over and over again. He says, and I thank God for you. He's thankful. He's thankful, yes. You know, if you fight with your family, be glad you have a family to fight with. Okay, if you want to look at it that way, it's kind of that thing of, you know, is the cup half full or half empty? Okay, so be glad you have a family, all right? And if you don't fight with your family, be glad that you have a family you don't have to fight with. Okay, so you win both ways. You don't lose either way on that one. But families are great. We love to be together. And as I said, there's something that just mysteriously draws us together several times a year, which is probably about right, because if we got together more, maybe wouldn't be good. But I think really what draws us is not the cottage cheese loaf or the gluten steaks or the apple pie and all those good things that we remember from our childhood. I think it really has more to do with unconditional love. Knowing that even though we squabble, even though we scrap with each other, we still love each other. There's that bond that draws us together. It ties us together in love. And you know, the Apostle Paul talks a lot about that. Actually, all the gospel writers, the people in the New Testament, talk a lot about love. And remember, Jesus said, this new commandment I give unto you, what? That you love each other. A new commandment. I mean, was that something new? Did Jesus really have to tell them to love one another? Well, apparently so. I guess it depends on what you define, how you define love. You know, because the world has a real way of twisting love and making it pretty bad. But true love, The love that comes from on high, the love that God showed by sending his only son to this earth, the love that Jesus showed for us, that he was willing to die on the cross, that kind of love you can't buy. And it's beautiful that it's a gift, isn't it? It's free. It's free for the taking. We don't have to have a big bankroll to pay for it. It comes by just simply receiving it and accepting the love that Jesus has. Somebody have a cell phone? I'll just borrow for a second. There's a story about a guy that called his son one morning, 3 days before Thanksgiving, and he said, hey, Johnny, I just want you to know that Mom and I have decided to end it all. We've been married 42 years. And by the way, you can call Susie, your sister in Miami, and let her know that, I'll just let her know. Bye-bye. So he hung up. Johnny was totally blown away, so he gets his phone, and he calls his sister in Miami. He says, hey, sis, guess what? Mom and Dad are ending it. What? She replies, no, you can't. They can't do that. They're not going to get by with that. She picks up the phone. 5 minutes later, the dad gets a call back. It's from Susie, all the way from Miami. Dad, you can't do that. Don't do anything. In fact, just wait a day. I'll get on the plane. I'll bring the kids, and we'll come up. We can talk about it. Don't do anything until I talk to you. The dad hangs up the phone, turns to his wife, and he says, dear, get the oven ready. Get the turkey ready. The kids are coming for Thanksgiving, and they're paying the airfare themselves. So you see, families are funny. We absolutely at times can't stand, you know, maybe being around each other, but then when something happens, when something drastic happens, we are drawn back together. We love each other regardless of how we might feel from time to time. The same thing is true in the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul realizes that here in Ephesians. He knows that people have different personalities. And those personalities, they will conflict. I always tell young people, and those of you that I've done your counseling, your marriage, your weddings, I always tell them, you are going to fight. And they go, what? No, we're in love. Kiss, kiss, kiss. You know, we're in no way. You are going to fight. It's not whether you fight or not. It's how you fight that's important. You fight fair. You fight with respect. You love each other. You do not allow a fight to tear you apart. Do not use words that are fighting words, like you always and you never. Those are fighting words, okay? So it's the same thing in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there will always be conflict. Why? Because we are distinct individuals created in the image of God. And each of us has a unique personality. And those personalities, some are strong, some are less strong. Some are stronger in one area than in another area, but we all work together, and as we work together, we make up the difference and we become one. We become united. You see? And so, when we think about and we talk about what unites us, the Apostle Paul, of course, over and over again repeats that we are united in Christ Jesus and through the Spirit. It's in Christ that we are united. We have our differences. We choose to comb our hair differently, if you have some. We choose to wear different types of clothing. We choose to buy different types of cars. We have the ability to freely choose the way we live. But when it comes to living in Christ Jesus, we are unified under one thing, only one, and that's Jesus Christ himself. He is the head of the body. Paul reminds us of that over and over in the book of Ephesians. The one thing, though, that I think that we need to point out here in the discussion of the body of Christ, and I'm not going to go into all the various gifts. I think you need to take a look at that in chapter 4, if you will, during the week, and look at the various gifts that are given to those who are in the body. Those gifts are given for a reason, for a purpose, not to serve the world, but to serve one another. You see? It's when we serve each other that we truly learn how to love each other. You see, the purpose of serving is to teach us to love. Do you remember when you got in a fight with your brother or your sister and your mom made you make up? Come on now, Susie. Kiss Johnny. Tell him you love him. Give him a hug. Give him a big hug. Remember that? They forced each other to love each other. Eventually, they learned to love each other, okay? All right? My boys, yeah, I've been through that. Come on, Ryan. Give Ricky a hug. You know? No! Yeah, you know how that goes. Now they hug each other. I don't have to tell them. They hug each other, and then they wrestle each other to the floor, you know, and I have to get out of the way. It's dangerous. But Paul wants us to realize that when we come together in the body of Christ, when we come together as the body and Christ is the head, that the sole purpose of our meeting together is to fellowship with each other and to serve one another with the gifts that God has given to us. And also, and this is not the last on the list, it's the first on the list, and that is we come to serve and worship God. And so the purpose of giving thanks, how does that fit in to our life as Christians, our life as the body of Christ? Well, I just wrote down a couple things here, and I'll outline them for you. Did you bring me something? Thank you very much. He thinks I need some food. Can I eat it? Okay. None of you get that. All right. So if you look with me, there's a couple passages that I want to refer to. I won't read all of them, but I want you to just take a glance at them. There are five reasons, I believe, and there are more, but I'm going to give you five reasons for giving thanks unto God. There's a lot of things that we're going to be doing in the next few months as we get together with family members, as we get together with friends, as we go shopping. We will be reminding that we are supposed to buy gifts for everybody because that's what the proper thing to do. But we'll also be reminded that when we receive a gift, we need to give thanks. But in all the excitement of this season, the holiday season, let us not forget to give thanks to God. So here are five. Those of you that are taking notes, you can put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and put word, works, will, and wonders and ways. Mm-hmm. Words, works, will, wonders, and ways. The first is the word. If you turn to the first book of, or rather, John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, you have this memorized, all right, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. All right? And going on, verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You see, John here is referring to the coming of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. He is the Word. So the first thing that we can thank God for is his Word, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But also we can thank him for the word. This is the word of God here on pages. And in John chapter, or 1 John chapter 1, if you want to flip over to 1 John chapter 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, it sounds almost like John, the book of John that you just looked at, which we have heard, which was seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this was proclaimed concerning the word of life. Okay? The life appeared and we had seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this. So John is also referring to here in 1 John to Jesus Christ being the Word, the sure Word. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, the truth and the lie. Okay? So we can thank God for His Word, which guides us, it strengthens us, it gives us counsel. The Bible itself is the Word sent down from God that man should live according to its teachings. Mm-hmm. The Word of God should be the foundation of our life. It should be the GPS in our journey through this life. When the storms come, when things become difficult, when we are tossed and blown around, we go back to the Word of God because it's the Word that shows us the way through the storm and gives us hope. The second is the works. Psalms 107. If you want to look at that real quick. I didn't have that one marked, but I'll go back to it. Psalms 107. David, a man who loved God dearly and constantly was giving thanks. And he says in Psalms 107, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south, and some wandered in the desert." He's talking about the children of Israel, okay, and how God fed them when they were hungry, and He gave them water when they were thirsty. We should thank God for His work in our lives. Is God working in your life? Is He? Huh? If you don't think He is, you need to stop and sit down and take some time and review your life. You know, so often we're either living in the past or we're living in the future, and we don't stop to think about living in the present. In fact, counselors are telling us more and more that we need to learn how to live in the present. We tend to look for that, what we want or we think we need, rather than living with what we have now and living where we are now. We're always grabbing for something that's out of touch or out of reach. We're always looking for that greener pasture. Okay? So it's important to live in the now. And we should thank God. We should recognize the work of God in our lives. And then when we recognize it, we need to thank God for that. Can you think of something this morning that has happened to you maybe in the last week or the last month or the last year? Something in your life where you knew without a question of a doubt that God was working in your life. And if you don't have one, just talk to me after church and I'll remind you how God has worked in the life of this church. In many ways, not only in individual lives, but in the direction of the church, in blessing us with ministries and people coming here and desiring to work side by side with us in reaching out into the community. This afternoon, we'll have Christina Darlene and her little group performing a little concert for us in the afternoon. We just got the piano all fixed up and ready to go. If you're going to come, you'll be blessed. Do you like holding hands? Huh? Some of you are. A few. It's something, you know, there's something about holding hands that just, it sends a message to the other person, you know? And I know in America we've got this thing that, you know, only husbands and wives or boyfriend and girlfriends hold hands. And when we see the other thing going on, we go, oh, how weird. Well, I grew up in countries where the husband and wife didn't hold hands. It was actually a man would hold another man's hand or a woman would hold another woman's hand, and it was not considered strange or weird. It was very acceptable socially. It meant they were friends. Okay? That's good. I'm glad you're doing that. So, we have the opportunity to hold hands to let the community around us know that we care about them. Quite frankly, they don't really want to know a whole lot about our Bibles or about what we believe until they know that we care. Jesus very seldom preached a sermon or gave a Bible study until He helped somebody with a struggle or a problem or a sickness or whatever. He always met their felt need first. Then He shared the gospel. We have to be careful that we don't put the cart before the horse. We have the opportunity every single week, in case you don't know it, there are hundreds of people that come on this campus, on this right here, this campus, every single day, all week long. I can tell you without a doubt, this is the first congregation, the first church I've ever pastored where that actually happens every single day of the week. And you might say, well, we're not preaching, you know, sermons to them. We're not, you know, holding evangelistic crusades. Well, you know, God in his time is going to show us those things. But the first thing we must do is make friends for them, friends with them, rather, for Jesus. Be friends with them for Jesus. Be their friend. Show them you care about their kids that come here every day of the week. Show them that you care about their health, their exercise every day of the week. Show them that you care about their little ones that want to learn music or need counseling. Show them that you care. And once they know you care, their ears are open, their minds are open. That's how Jesus worked. And that's how we need to continue to work here at Point Loma. The third reason for giving thanks to God is that His will is that we are all to be saved. Did you know that? God wills that every single person, even absolutely the worst person on the face of this earth, God wants that person to be saved. Okay? That is His will. The problem is, it isn't always our will. And so there's a clash of wills there. God wills it all to be saved. That's why He sent His only begotten Son, so that all could be saved if they were just willing to be saved. You see? That's the big problem, is the working of the will. The Bible tells us that we are chosen to be His children. Did you know that? You are God's children. That's not just some theological thing. It's not just some metaphor. It is a reality. You are God's children. Therefore, we should praise Him and thank Him. Give thanks to Him. Okay? And in case you didn't know it, especially for you younger people, God has a plan for your life. Okay? And you certainly, you have your own choices. God never wants to meddle with your mind. He wants your heart. And so He will draw you to Him at times in your life, actually every day if you'll let Him, and He will show you the way. He will show you His plan for your life. The fourth is wonders. All right? Psalms 105. If you want to look at Psalms 105, just back a little bit from what we just read in 107. David says in Psalms 105, verse 5, he says, "Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgment He pronounces." God has performed miracles in your life. Amen? When was the last time God performed a miracle in your life? Well, let's see, when I was 12 years old. You know, God performs a miracle every single day in your life. The fact that you wake up in the morning and you're still breathing. The fact that you wake up in the morning and you're alive in this life, in this world, is a miracle. And only God gives life. Remember that. Satan takes life. God gives life. God is the life giver. Without God, there would be no life on this planet. God sustains the life on this planet. The Bible tells us that there are angels holding back the forces that would destroy this planet. God is saving our life every single day. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Give Him glory. Give Him the honor that is due Him. Give Him the respect that is due Him. Praise Him with your lips. Give Him your heart. And finally, number five is ways. And this kind of links up with the will. But the ways that God leads us. Now you need to stop and think about, what are those ways? What are the ways that God leads us? Can you count the ways? And if you can count the ways, and if you know the ways the Lord has led in your life, then your heart should be full of gratitude and thanksgiving. Gratitude and thanksgiving for the way, the mighty way that God has led in your life. You know, there are times that we may not even understand the experiences that we're going through, because they're too painful, or they're too hard, and we struggle, and we wrestle. And sometimes it may even seem like you can't even see what God is doing. God, just reveal yourself to me. David says that over and over again in his Psalms. Lord, why is it the wicked are so prosperous and poor little me, you know, I'm just dumped on constantly and beat up by everybody. Wah, wah, wah. And yet he'll turn right around and the very next psalm will be, Lord, I praise you for the mighty way that you worked in my life for delivering me from my enemies. Isn't that kind of the way life is, though? Aren't there times when we're just groveling on the ground and the next minute we're up on the top of the mountain just thanking Jesus for everything? We need to learn to be consistent, knowing that in the difficult times, in the hard times, that even in those times, God is with us and he is leading us. He is carrying us through the difficult times. Praise his holy name. He's going to be a preacher someday. So, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians brings us back around to the family, the body of Christ, the importance of putting Christ at the head of the church, at the head of the body, the importance of all the gifts that are given to the body so that it can serve, so that they can serve one another. And I like what he says here in chapter 4 of Ephesians, after he lists these various gifts. And verse 12, it says, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, if we get hung up on little theological hooks, it's going to tear us down. If we remember Christ is the head of the church and we are to be serving the body of Christ, we're not going to be worried about those little hiccups along the way, because we know that Christ is leading us. And the body of Christ will be built up as we serve one another until all will reach, what does it say? Unity in the faith and the knowledge of what? What does it say? The knowledge of what? What's going to build up our unity? The knowledge of the Son of God. Once again, our unity is in Jesus Christ. And what does it say right after that? We will be built up in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and will become mature. Don't get caught up with the Gnostics, because they're still around. Don't get caught up with the idea that the more I know, the better I can quote. The numbers that I can add and subtract and multiply and figure out from the scriptures, that's called numerology. By the way, it's a huge thing right now. There are whole books written on numerology. You want to get hung up on numerology, you can really do it. The Bible's full of all kinds of numbers. Okay? That is not the gospel. The gospel is in Jesus Christ. You get it? You see? That's what will unify us. The gospel will unify us, and we will be mature. I like that. And, you know, even healthy, mature families, like I said, have their squabbles. That's okay. My mom always said that she was told by her mother, because her mother was a really interesting lady. I never met her. She died of malaria in Singapore many, many years ago. But she said, you know, grandma, or her mom, always said that when the kids get to scrapping, just stand back and let them go at it, and then just be a referee. Just step in when you need to, but that's part of their learning to show how they love each other. So, you know, sometimes we have to referee in the body of Christ. That's okay. That's okay. But remember, It leads to maturity. Maturity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.